Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story.
This is part two of the Barb and Cameron love story. If you haven't listened to part one yet, go back and listen to that from last week's episode, and then stay tuned for part two.
Okay, so somebody removes him from your presence, goes and cleans him up a little bit.
Tucks him in, gets him his, is it called a boutonniere?
Yep.
It gets him his boutonniere. Comes back out, ditches the glasses, and then it's pretty smooth sailing from there.
Yeah, the rest of the day went fine.
It was fine. The rest of the day was fine. Went back after the wedding, was great. The reception was great. You get to bring home all the leftover food
at
the reception. So yeah. St. Anna Pelican Ballroom has the best chicken ever. So
we got it's even better cold.
Okay.
Brought all it home. So instead of going to our home, we go to my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
After the reception.
Just can't seem to cut all them strings yet.
So I was sitting at the table eating fried chicken with her dad, and I hear, "Hey, Mom, help me come get out of my dress." So I didn't even help her get out of her own dress.
I just grease the chicken fingers. I just hear from upstairs, "Damn it."
but that chicken was good.
Mm-hmm. Better than sex chicken.
Damn it.
We need to go have that chicken soon.
So that was, we did our honeymoon. Do you want to guess what we did for our honeymoon? Think of this individual. What did we do?
This was her idea to go do this.
Okay. For your honeymoon, did you go snowmobiling?
No.
So okay. we have this grand plan. When it's already planned, we're going up to Duluth and we're going to do that and up north. And I made this joke. I'm like, man, we should go to the truck pulls in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And she looked at me and she's like, wait, we can do that? And I'm like, yeah, we can do whatever we want.
Explain what a truck pull is.
Big, loud, high horsepower trucks hooked to a big, heavy sled and drag it down a football field. A
weighted sled, yeah. Okay. And so black smoke, everything. You can't hear each other talk. You can't, nothing.
Okay.
We sat there for three days.
That's what we did for our honeymoon.
And these bleachers, big air muffs looking at each other.
Just watching trucks going to pull truck stuff. Bowl.
That was a good one.
So we went up to Duluth and then had to drive all the way to southern Wisconsin to truck pulls for 3 days.
Yeah, we did the Duluth. We tried to do something romantic and we were like wandering around Duluth. My dad traveled a lot for work. So he had a lot of points for like Holiday Inns.
Mm-hmm.
So he booked all our hotels with these points because we're flat ass bro.
Yeah.
Two wannabe people, flat ass bro. Mm-hmm. So he booked us all these hotels, and each one he made sure had a stupid jacuzzi bathtub like next to the bed.
I love that, like, dad's a homie. He's like, I got you.
I got you, Cam.
The most expensive room in the hotel was our room.
Yeah, it was disgusting.
So one night, we're finally like, hey, we should fill that tub up. She hits the jet and just thick black hair comes blowing
launches. I was like, I need a new room. I cannot stay in this room any longer. The bed probably has bed bugs. Get me. No. So we left Duluth right then.
Yeah.
Romance over.
Yeah. It's not good podcasting to be gagging into the microphone.
This is going viral.
God. Good God. Okay. Hair.
Thank you, Dad.
A hairball launches out of the jacuzzi. And you're like, actually, you know what?
Let's just leave.
We packed our stuff real quick and we're like, we're out of here.
Get in the Cavalier and go.
Yeah. We're out of here.
That's right. We did take the Cavalier, didn't we? Bruce.
My two-door Cavalier.
Yeah. Bombing around.
She named it Bruce.
Bruce. Aww, give it some juice, Bruce.
Oh, I love that.
So I am not the only weird one here.
Okay, so you hop in Bruce and you leave.
Head to the truck pulls.
Yep, head to the truck pulls.
And everything still was.
I think the rest of it went pretty good.
Yeah, we were just vibing. Oh.
Okay.
So we spent one night in Wisconsin Dells.
Oh.
And she has, I'm going to reply, a fetish of Amish.
Okay, Amish fetish.
Just loves Amish.
I will leave Cameron in a heartbeat if an Amish man comes up to me and says, you be my bride.
Done.
I'll be like,
Done.
You take this. Away. I gotta go.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, just down the road, there's a self-guided Amish tour. And I'm like, okay, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. It was a 2-hour drive one way. And we left at 6 o'clock at night.
Did you know how far away this was?
She never Googled where it was.
You just saw a sign, Amish tour. This
she found a pamphlet.
I found a pamphlet, I think, at the gas station. I was like, this sounds amazing. You just tune your radio dial in and it just talks to you and you drive through and you're like, this farm was started and blah, blah, blah. And this family has this many kids. And
it gets better. We get there. She forgot the pamphlet and didn't know what the radio station was. So we just randomly drove around looking at Amish farm.
Played our own music. Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't Disturbed.
It was something heavy metal. Get down and with the windows sickness. Down. Yep. And they were looking at us really weird on their buggies.
Driving around at 8 o'clock at night. I really like the commitment of just like, it's got to be around the
corner.
He
didn't question it either. He's like, all right.
Let's go.
Are we going to be there yet soon? Yes.
It's promise. Right up here. No, it was not.
It's got to be close. Look at, there's horse poop there. It's got to be close, yes. Cameron.
All signs are pointing to the Amish.
Yep. So we do the thing. At the end is like a little store. What'd you call it? A country store. So I go in and I buy a legit Amish bonnet.
Okay.
She proceeds to wear it for the next 4 days.
Anytime we were driving in the truck, I would tie this bonnet on and I would sit in the front seat of the truck and I would purposely look like a frightened girl. And anytime a car would come by, I'd be like, help me.
Help me.
This American man stole me from the farm.
I will become Amish one way or another.
I just would. So then I was like, oh, you know what would be better if I wore my glasses? So I would, like, the next time he'd be like, why are you wearing your glasses? You never wear your glasses. So I'd sit there and I put my glasses on. I kind of pull them down my nose a little bit, like, help me.
So before we went to the truck pulls, we went to the Dells. We go to the truck pulls. Guess what is 5 miles outside of town of the truck pulls?
Another Amish farm?
No, the Amish tour.
Oh, sure.
So it's right there.
So the next morning, we're leaving the Wisconsin Dells and drive right past where she made me drive the night before.
Mm-hmm. Hey, should we go back and do the guided tour,
Bob? So he's like, we'll just do one road. I was like, hold on, I got to put my bonnet on.
And it was full of Amish people just staring at us like, what are you doing?
Look at my bonnet.
Just insulting her.
But I mortified you on the freeway every day. Yeah. For how many months with my bonnet?
I think I threw it away like a year ago and you yelled at me.
That's our anniversary.
Damn bonnet.
I do love the idea that you had an anniversary bonnet. I love that.
Yeah. And cute little.
Yeah.
Little belt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Comically, every time she'd do something stupid or new, I was going to be mad. I'd come home and she'd be wearing it. And that's how I knew she had done something.
You cannot be mad
stupid.
At me because
it did not work.
See, this is what I love about this relationship is that Cameron is like, ooh, I messed up real bad. I went and bought another vehicle or whatever. And then it's like, okay, so then Barb gets mad. But then when you mess up, you're just like, but I have a cute bonnet
on. Look how cute I am. I'm so innocent. I don't know how to turn the lights on.
But I have my bonnet. Barb, what did you do? Take the bonnet off.
Went to Goodwill and dropped like a woman. 200.
On trash. On trash.
Roll.
Get that bonnet off. Okay, so you go to the truck pull. You got your Amish bonnet. You come back home and now you're just living together happily married.
Happily married, yeah.
Okay, and what's the next? What is time looking like now? How long before you start having babies, and what's your life like?
Oh my
like?
God, how long were we?
Well, we got married in 14 and we lost our, had a miscarriage in 15.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we lost our first baby then. And I think that's very hard on a marriage.
Okay.
Just because you don't know, you want something to blame.
Yeah.
So it's like we fought the night before I lost the baby. So you blamed yourself. Like, I put too much stress on you from yelling at you. It's my fault.
Yeah.
It was just this emotional roller coaster. You know, you both kind of shut down.
How far along were you?
12 weeks.
Okay. So you're right.
Yep. I'm right at that cutoff. The miscarriage was horrific.
She was in pain. Mm-hmm. We went into urgent care and they're like, oh, there's nothing wrong with you. And they oh, you don't, we can't give you any painkillers because you're faking it.
It's just a miscarriage. People pass it all the time.
And she's like, I got to go. I feel like I got to go to the bathroom. Well, in hindsight, she delivered the baby in the toilet of urgent care. And then the nurse was, oh, you really did need those painkillers.
Because Cameron is not a small person. So the babies are quite large. They're quite broad. So it's like, yes, you're 12 weeks, but it's actually like a 16-week fetus is the size of it. So we so that was just horrific. I already have like a lot of anxiety, like terrible anxiety. So that just really set me off. Like the fear of everything. Like, why did it happen to me? What did we do so wrong? Like, our life was already a mess. Can't just one thing go right.
This bonnet is not solving anything.
Like, it's like the fun is over. This is just traumatic, whatever. So it took probably 2 years before we're like, all right.
Try again.
We'll try again. Nope. Happened again. Oh, we go for my 12-week, end of the first trimester ultrasound. There's no heartbeat. The baby's measuring large again. So this time we did like a DNC, which is a lot easier. You don't have like the bleeding and all that kind of stuff like you do with a natural miscarriage. But again, it was like, why? Why does this happen to us? Like, what have we done so wrong? Why does it have to be so difficult? So that's when Cameron really pulled away then. He really struggled. He doesn't say it. He won't tell people, but he really, really struggled. So what does he do? He builds a snowmobile.
And we go racing.
Yep.
And when I build a snowmobile, I stuck about $12,000 in an $800 snowmobile.
All his emotion into an old snowmobile.
Yep.
And he races it. And miraculously, you didn't get hurt.
Nope.
Well, we finished. Out of the way.
You finished the race. You didn't get hurt. Got that out of the way.
I feel like we need to go back. We were enduro racing 1971 snowmobiles, like early single cylinder, and they were 100-mile races on no suspension.
100 miles
on a lake.
In a race. They just
went around in a circle. 99% of the race is you have to build
NASCAR
something.
Style.
Yes, it was a 7-mile track out on a lake.
So you and your brother were the teams, like, they would do so many laps before they'd have to switch off.
Yeah.
And then the next rider would go. Because
your spleen was about to start bleeding.
Yeah.
My God.
So it was just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So you did that. That was your coping to put, like, your energy into something creative, I'd say.
Yeah. The reason we still have
like
that snowmobile.
It's like your artistic thing. Yep. He cannot get rid of that snowmobile. That's like, it just sits on a shelf.
Snowmobile.
Sits up on a shelf in the shed, which is fine. Whatever. Let it be.
So as he's pulling away, are you like feeling abandoned or are you
okay? Like I just feel very like, is this it? Is it over?
I'm broken. Like, I can't get
I'm broken. I can't get to make a family. He feels like it's his fault that, you know, we go through all the things. We go through therapy. Mainly I do therapy. And then
I don't remember therapy.
I do therapy and I bring it home to him. I'm like, this is what I talk about in therapy today. And this is our recommendations. And then we try all those recommendations.
So Cameron was open to that?
Yes.
Okay, good.
So we get over this horrific hurdle that just feels like it just tears our world apart. Because all our friends are having babies.
Yep.
Everyone around us is having babies. And we're just like.
During the second marriage. There were 3 or 4 of my family members were having kids all within a month of when we were supposed to have
kids. So it was like a big thing like, oh, we're going to have all these cousins that are the same age and they're going to play together. And then I lose it. And it's just like, oh.
And then, oh, we're going to have professional pictures taken of all these babies at the family get together.
Bar blasters again. So it was just kind of like a constant reminder that the second one was really tough. Like I thought it would be easy. Oh, been through this already. Cool. No, I think that one really took us down in our marriage a lot. So we had a lot of rebuilding to do. I won't say trust-wise, but just like we have each other and that's all that matters and that's what's important.
And so how can we turn back towards
each other? Yes, how can we go back?
How do you get back to the way it was?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk vodka. Not the boring, flavorless kind you panic by before a party, but something with actual personality. Norman's Shuck Vodka from Garden State Distillery. This stuff is distilled in small batches in Toms River, New Jersey, and it's infused with oysters, seaweed, and sea salt. Basically, the Jersey Shore in a glass, minus the spray tans. They call it a dirty martini in a bottle, and they're not wrong. It's got this subtle salty brine, a little ocean breeze vibe, and a smooth finish with just a hint of pepper. Honestly, it makes your Bloody Marys, oyster shooters, and even your basic vodka sodas taste like you know what you're doing. Oh, and seafood? Forget it. This vodka was born to sit next to a platter of oysters. And because I negotiated like the feisty podcast host I am, you get 15% off anything from Garden State Distillery. Yep. The highest discount out there, exclusively for my listeners. Just use code LOVESTORY at GardenStateDistillery.com. You're welcome. Let's be honest. Most cookies out there are either too basic or too bougie, but Molly B's somehow nailed the balance. Bold, fun, and unforgettable cookies that actually taste as good as they sound. We're talking flavors like Bee Cordial with chocolate and cherry chunks, Big Joe with fresh ground coffee and a hint of rum, Boba Doodles with Snickerdoodle and Boba Pearls, and everybody's favorite train wreck, the Hot Mess, with mango, white chocolate, and crushed hot Cheetos on top. I know, it sounds unhinged, but trust me, one bite and you'll be hooked. Molly's a single mom from Alaska who turned her kitchen experiments into a full-blown national sensation. Featured on Food Network, Martha Stewart Living, and even at the Grammy Awards. These cookies are indulgent, surprising, and absolutely addictive. And because I've got the hookup, you get 10% off your order. Yes, the highest discount they offer when you use my code LOVESTORY at mollybees.com. Stock up for gifts, hoard them for yourself, or both. No judgment here.
And it's like Cameron's my weighted blanket for anxiety. So like when I am having a full-on panic attack or anything, mm-hmm. like I just need Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me, don't try to give me a pill, don't do anything, just get me Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like in these moments, like I'd be at work and I would suddenly have like a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be crying and I'd be screaming like off the top of the parking ramp, and people just knew, mm-hmm. someone needs to call Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
So they would call Cameron, you know, come, he'd take me home.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, we finally get over this hurdle, and then we get pregnant, we're doing good, Andrew's doing good, and then I get really sick.
Mm-hmm.
Preeclampsia. So I'm at work.
That's right. You almost died.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I was super, super sick. I'm at work. I'm like super dizzy. Can't stand. Can't think. Throwing up. So sick. So they
and
take me
how far along into the pregnancy?
I was 33 weeks.
Okay.
So close to the end.
Yeah.
I get to OB and they're like, yep, your blood pressure's sky high. Like, we got to get it down.
Mm-hmm.
So they... Someone gets a hold of Cameron. I don't know.
And they don't mess around. Like when you go in for something like that, like I don't remember what the symptoms are, but okay. They're very like, it's so intense that it's like you have to,
yes.
like you get this taken care of now.
Yes.
Like you're locked.
Which is what we thought was going to happen. But then they were so adamant that since the baby is measuring so large and the baby was doing fine and all the ultrasounds, and it was just my blood pressure and my symptoms that were the problem, they just put me on stroke and seizure precautions,
mm-hmm.
and then I sat on a magnesium drip for mm-hmm. a week.
Mm-hmm. Because they want, are they wanting him to get just
they want
a little
get,
further
yes,
developed?
They, wanted,
they
to
wanted to get
going.
Him past a certain threshold.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I was like, sure, whatever. I just kept getting worse and worse. My OB doctor was on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Good for her. I love her.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't there. So I'm just depending on every day I had a different doctor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they each have their own ideas, their own thoughts, mm-hmm. whatever. So finally it comes to the point where I just don't wake up the next morning. I'm just not like mm-hmm. I'm there, but I'm not there.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron tells me all the time, the entire family was there. Everybody drove from like Rochester, Montevideo. My
and you
family
were at
was
home.
There. I was in the hospital.
Okay.
Literally, there was 15 people in that room when she went in to go have deliver the kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, that morning, Cameron's like, something's not right. Something's not right. She won't talk to me, nothing. She's not there. So then, yeah, I was like, okay, she's either going to stroke out and die or we pull the kid out.
And even worse, the doctors forced her before they made the decision to take one bite of toast.
Yep, I needed
well,
to
then,
eat. It's because I wasn't eating, yeah.
20 minutes later, they decided we have to deliver this kid now. Well, now we have to wait 8 hours because she just ate.
Yep, the anesthesiologist won't
uh-huh.
do anything because I ate. They forced that toast in me.
Uh-huh.
So then I'm laying there. I don't know what happened that whole day.
But everybody's like round the clock keeping an eye on, mm-hmm. an eye on you to make sure,
yep.
like, she could at any moment
die. Any moment.
God.
So we had. I do the C-section. I think it went okay. Well, you were there.
Yeah.
Okay. This is going to be a story you girls are going to laugh at. So we're sitting there, and the nurse is like, you get your gown on, everything. I will come get you when it's ready. And we're sitting there, I'm talking with my family and her family, and man, this is taking a long time. Also, the nurse is, we go walking in the hallway. The doctor, who has cut Barbara, is in the hallway screaming, hurry, the baby, we're waiting on you to pull this baby out. I almost missed the birth because the nurse wasn't paying attention.
Uh-huh. Okay. She's like, yeah, whatever. You got probably another couple.
You're good. Yeah. And I think it was because they were laughing at you because the shirt he decided to wear at the time of our first son's birth was I bang
ditches. A snowmobiling shirt.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
So people at first glance think it says I bang.
Uh-huh.
But it is a D, ditches.
To go pull a baby out.
To go watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get a baby pulled out.
So
Andrew was then born. I'm still not with it. I think you went with him to the NICU.
Yep.
Was he technically preemie then?
Yep. So he's premature.
Okay.
So you go to the NICU, you hold him. I'm still.
So let's back up. I hold the baby. I don't hold babies.
No.
Like, okay. I've never held a baby at this point
in
my life.
Did you start weeping? Or were you just like...
So, the farm. Let's go back to the farm. Yeah. Crystal, the wife, knows this. She showed up at the hospital that night, walked into the NICU, and made me hold my son for the first time because I was afraid to hold him.
You just stared at him, And it's, it's intimidating holding a baby. Like, they got, the big stuff on their face.
Yeah,
and,
tiny little, very tiny.
She walked in and said, I'm not leaving until you hold that damn kid.
Aww. And it's not like... The nurses were there to help him because of all the cords and the his oxygen and stuff like that. So she took pictures for me. But yeah, so we were in the NICU for 30 days.
God.
I finished nursing school in the NICU.
How long until you came out of it? And was it purely because...
24 hours probably.
Yeah, it probably took me 24 hours. So I didn't see him, nothing, for the first 24 hours. Cameron was always constantly in NICU, and then my parents stayed with me and back in OB.
Mm-hmm.
And then you and your family stayed in the NICU with.
Well, I ran back and forth.
Yeah, but someone was always with Andrew. Someone from your family was always with Andrew. Cameron had to go back to work though.
Yeah,
so I was still alone, not allowed to walk, do anything, because my blood pressure was still high.
Mm-hmm.
So I would sneak out of OB and walk to the NICU. The cardiologist
you
that
put
I
on
work with,
the glasses with the nose and the fake mustache. Yeah.
The cardiologist that I work with at work was our NICU doctor. He does both cardiology and NICU.
He is God a gem bless. Of a human. Yep.
So he would catch me and I remember all the time, he's like, Barb, you don't look so good. Are you supposed to be here right now?
Dr. Chip.
Mind your own.
Mind your business. Mind your business.
Get out of here. His motto is, as long as you're breastfeeding, I don't care what you do. So, man's obsessed with breastfeeding. So I was like, I'm coming over to pump.
Yep.
Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on in.
Lying to him, this poor man, this poor cardiologist.
So then finally, the nurses figured out that I was leaving. I just shut my door behind me and they would think I'm in there napping.
Yeah.
And when I'm a patient, I don't need anything. I'm not on the horn all the time, just let me do everything myself and let me be.
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't think they thought anything of it. Barb's not in there calling us for anything.
Yeah, she's fine.
She's good. She's rest.
Sneaking out.
She ain't in there. And I think I would walk down to the hospital cafeteria and get food and then go back up to the NICU. I wouldn't sit in my room and order food from.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I'm
just going open wide, cheeks hanging
I'm just,
out.
Yeah,
give me one of those
boob opening here. Hey, can I get a sub?
I need real food.
Yeah.
So I got busted. So I was in the hospital for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Trying to get my blood pressure down,
and you're doing school and all of that stuff still there, like you said.
Trying to finish school. I'm in my last 3 weeks of school.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew wasn't supposed to be born until Christmas Day. School's done December 18th. Mm-hmm. He's here a month and a half early.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the phone with my teachers, what can I do? I'm missing clinicals. I'm missing all these things. So God bless them. They just had me write a bunch of papers about like NICU viruses.
Oh, okay.
Like if people don't do proper hand hygiene before going into the NICU, what kind of viruses are things? So I had great resources, mm-hmm. obviously. So mm-hmm. these papers were just like super nice. The nurses were super great. I had one that I'm friends with on Facebook now and I still mm-hmm. talk to. Like she was just a godsend.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not fun being in a
right.
NICU.
Right.
But.
Is this when we brought him home?
My neighbor, my NICU neighbor. So when I was in the hospital in on the OB side, my neighbor, and then the baby's neighbor was an Amish woman.
You lucky.
Look at you. Just hanging out.
Just, you know. So
you're
she,
like, can I like, go get my bonnet?
So when she figures this out, she calls me. And she's like, and I'm like, what's wrong?
Yes.
Is our kid okay?
The Amish.
There's an Amish lady here.
You know, so then I'm just like, oh, my God. My dad spent every day with me in the NICU. He's yeah. tired at this point. So he never left Andrew's side. Mm-hmm. Always, if I had to run to school to do something for mm-hmm. to pass, he'd sit there. He would not hold Andrew. He, mm-hmm. the nurses offered to help him. Nope, I'm just going to stare at him in his incubator.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up talking to this Amish lady, mm-hmm. told her how I think their life is so fascinating, all mm-hmm. these things. So she, whenever I was there, she would come knock on the door,
yeah.
and she would come and talk to me. And I was so grossed out because I'm like, do you don't brush your teeth? You don't wash yeah. your face? Like, you kind of smell bad. Like,
yeah.
So then I was like, after that, it was kind of like, never like the Amish, but I don't think I like the Amish anymore.
Yeah, I don't
like, so, I don't really think Amish. I want you to come in here and talk to me anymore.
I don't want to be Amish anymore.
Well, then they don't circumcise mm-hmm. their kids. So her baby had everything, the same thing wrong as what Andrew did, just like the breathing and the eating mm-hmm. difficulties. So their baby got to go home before
mm-hmm.
our baby did. So that, I think, crushed us.
That crushed you.
Crushed me. You were at work. You were living life.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron would come.
I was trying to get bills paid.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would sit there all day until Cameron would get off of work, and then I would go home, and then Cameron would sleep there all night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you purposely meant to sleep there all night.
I did.
You just did. So we brought Andrew home, and then life was good again.
So, another us story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're bringing Andrew home, and my uncle in Canada dies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Andrew had been home for 3 days, and we threw him in my truck and drove uh-huh. to Canada.
Uh-huh. A brand new baby.
We had head home for baby. 3 days, and the first thing yeah. we do is throw him in a truck and go to Canada.
We gotta go to Canada. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Mm. That was, I know, and I was freaking out. How do you get a baby across the border?
You just do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just hold him
yeah.
up, and you're like, here he is.
He's mine, I swear.
Still, like, curled up like this.
Yeah.
And here's his picture of his birth certificate, mm-hmm. because it's not really real yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ink's still dry.
Yep. So we had to take him over. That was horrible, because he was not a good sleeper.
That was a long trip.
That was a long trip. But, yeah, then everything was hunky-dory. Then we had an oopsie, and his name is Colt.
Yeah. After all the stress and pressure and everything and all of the trauma, and then all of a sudden you're just like, wait, it's that simple? You can just do it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So then we had Colton. And
he's what, 18 months younger?
Yep, they're 18 months apart.
So barely Irish twins. Like, they're just on the...
Do not recommend.
No. No.
If you under two, no, don't do it. So, yep, so we had Colton. Colton's birth was... Apparently, I can't birth children.
Okay.
Because, again, 33 weeks, I get super sick,
mm-hmm.
go into the hospital. This time they were able to manage it pretty well and we were able to go home.
Okay.
But we still had scheduled C-section early, 38 weeks.
Okay.
We go in, have Colton. Colton comes out not breathing. They do the whole thing. They have to do CPR. They have to intubate him. He's not well. So, like, the little chime goes off in the room, and they're like, everything's fine, Barb. And I'm like, bullshit.
I know what
that bell means. I've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
So, Cameron, I think you went over and just stood and, like, peered over everybody's shoulder kind of a thing. And I'm, you know, you're just stuck laying there.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
And you had a
C-section? Someone tell me.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I had the C-section. Our doctor was great. So, she's like... She can see everything. She's doing putting me back together, and she can see. She's like, oh, he's breathing now. He's doing good. I'll keep you in the loop. Mm-hmm. Dr. Martinson, she's fabulous. Mm-hmm. She took good care of us. But then yet, I still don't get better afterwards in the hospital, like another 2 weeks after birth, having full-on panic attacks every day. Mm-hmm. They think...
So they sent Colton home. They were going to send Colton home. And leave Barb in there, and that was sending her blood pressure through the roof.
Of course. They have two babies now at home, and I can't be there. Mm-hmm. So it's like I have...
And that was the beginning of COVID.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yep. So throw that in
there, too. So it was COVID, so my mom couldn't be there to come visit. My dad couldn't be there to visit.
They were trying to kick me out.
They were trying to kick... Cameron can't spend the night with you, and I was just like... begging, pleading, sobbing, please let Cameron stay.
So I ended up paying off the one nurse to let me stay in there with the rule I wasn't allowed to leave the room till 8 o'clock in the morning.
To leave the room till so other people didn't know that I had someone staying with me.
Yeah.
To the point of if he went to the bathroom, someone would come in and be like, are you in a safe relationship? Is he?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's my anxiety. He's not like a possessive freak.
Right. Right. I want him here. Yeah.
I get that all the time, still to this day, when Cameron comes with me to the doctor's appointment. And I'm just like...
Last week.
Yeah.
Help me. Save me. I don't want to be here. And you're like, are you okay? Are you...
Yeah.
Just he Cameron's got some sort of hold on you. And I'm like...
I don't want to be
here. I'm mentally not stable.
I don't want to be here. Please tell her I can't come.
I know, he sits there, and you always do that, too.
He's like, I'm in an abusive relationship. Tell her to let me go.
I just want to go to work.
The doctor would be like, do you have any concerns? And he'd be like, yeah, how much longer? I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, this is concerning to me.
I got to go. But otherwise, Colton's good now.
Mm-hmm. No long-term effects for him coming
He's
out.
He's got asthma.
Okay.
So, I mean, we go to Children's every 6 months through his asthma stuff, but...
Mm-hmm. And is that something that he will kind of... Are they optimistic that
he'll
grow out
of it? We're optimistic he will grow out of it.
Okay.
But asthma runs real hard in my
real
family.
Real hardcore in your family, sure. Yep.
So he can't be a smoker or anything like that?
He can't do anything but...
Okay. All right.
He runs and I'm behind him with his inhaler. Yeah. Slow down, please!
Come get a puff!
Come hit it!
My mom's always pushing drugs on me.
I'm just like a little... Like, you're coughing? Were you running? Stop. Sit down. It's quiet time.
Why can't you get into nice, calm activities?
Why do you have to be balls to the walls? He's the... If you open the dictionary to second child syndrome, you will see Colton.
Mm-hmm.
Throw things, hit things, run 50 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. No fear, no care, no... That is Colton.
I had so as a child, I had real wild ADHD, and he inherited that. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. The problem is, his mother's the most stubborn woman in the world,
uh-huh.
And he's inherited. He's extremely stubborn and ADHD.
He is just a cocktail of all worst traits of you two.
Oh boy, he is balls to the wall, and you can't tell him no.
But he gets cute as a button.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, which is, that's like the trifecta.
Yeah.
It's like you are truly.
And he knows
his villain origin stories. Yeah. He's like, well, I was born. So.
And he's just like, you tell him no and he'll look at you and he'll be like.
Oh. And you're like, God, come get this cookie. Oh, yes, I'll give you
come here. Yes. Give me a hug and it'll be okay.
Yes.
Just say sorry.
I'll tell you whatever.
Don't do it again.
Yeah, let me go. Fine. Bye.
But now here we are.
Yeah.
Cameron runs his own business.
Yeah.
I'm still yet in school.
Really? What are you doing now? Is it master's?
Bachelor's.
Bachelor's? Okay. Mm-hmm. Bachelor's in nursing. So then what is your end goal? What are you hoping for?
I am hoping.
It better be more than hoping. We've been doing this for way too long.
I will be.
Uh-huh.
Barb Peck, RN, BSN. What field? Maybe cardiology still.
Okay.
Maybe hospice.
Okay.
Oh, we'll see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not kid hospice.
Oh, that would be...
Old people hospice.
Yes. Okay. And so how much longer do you have for that?
I'll be done in June.
Okay.
Thank the Lord.
Okay. Very exciting. Okay. We'll look for the update. And Cam, you're just out crushing it.
A swing of hammer.
Swing of hammers.
Yep. Building rooms. And I unfortunately for everyone, I lost the phone when I was getting action cam shots of him working on my house.
God.
Yeah. That phone is now at the bottom of the Sauk River. So I lost all my action cams.
See, there was something good that came out in there.
I got some of them. You sent some of them to me. I do have some of them.
Action cam. This is your husband in the wild.
I'm working. And all of a sudden I hear a click, click, click. And she's taking pictures of my ass. Wearing a tuba.
You never know when I need another funeral arrangement sent to the
You did say, you were like, she loves me in a tool belt. And I was like, well, let me get her some of that bad chicken.
Oh, look at this.
Yeah, yeah. Ooh, action cam. Shake it.
Over the shoulder one time.
Yeah, got to get that woman her juice.
Do you know how many people know that? And John sends me pictures of you in a tool belt.
Mm-hmm. He tells me. You're not as sneaky as you think you are.
Like, how did you know?
Because your jaw hits the floor every time Cameron walks in the room, drooling.
You think sometimes you come home and I'm wearing a tool belt?
You never come home wearing a tool belt.
I love this relationship dynamic of, like, Barb's in a bonnet and Cameron walks in a tool belt. And it's like, what kind of pornography?
We're so Amish. Build me
what
a
is
shed.
What's happening here? Everyone in your neighborhood is like, it is.
What the hell is going on over there?
Yeah.
Your mom can't watch this.
Yeah, it's okay. Ask for forgiveness.
We're married.
Yeah.
God
yeah.
is good.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being on and being so open and vulnerable with your story.
I mean, once we got old, our story kind of really fizzled down.
The first half of this is really interesting.
Yeah. Wild time,
good.
Train wreck, yeah, that's happening, Hot Mess Express, and then, yeah.
And then it just tames down like a normal,
yeah.
Now we go to bed early, and...
As you should.
Life revolves around dinosaurs and Minecraft.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah.
Okay, what's one thing that you love about each other, and we'll let you go?
She puts up.
I was going to say something really nice, and then you do that.
I'm on the spot.
Oh,
it's not Valentine's Day.
It's not Valentine's Day, and you can't send me a text.
And let's be honest, we let Ashley write the Valentine's Day cards.
Yes,
that is true. That is true. Yeah, Cameron says, oh my God. Okay, a real quick story for the last couple of Valentine's Days. This last year, Cameron said specifically, we are not doing anything. We are not sending anything crazy for Valentine's Day. I had a whole plan. I think we're going to employ this plan next year.
She requested that this last year.
Oh, yes, that there was no,
we were doing
the
something.
No plan. Yes, nothing for Valentine's
Day. It's going to outdo the other one?
Well, so last year's Valentine's Day, the first Valentine's Day, didn't we just do like a big, ungodly, like huge arrangement?
Yes.
And then how do you top that when you send a giant bouquet of flowers on Valentine's Day? It was a bucket. Like, it was, like, arranged in a bucket. Huge.
A wash tub.
Yes. Yeah. Something obscene. And so then
and it pissed the other nurses off.
Yes,
it's great.
Of course it does.
I get hate mail.
So then last year, I was like, Cameron, here's what we're going to do for Barb. And I started planning this, like, a couple months in advance because whenever I have to buy a wreath form, I have to buy it in packs of two. So I had this giant heart-shaped foam wreath, and I was like, this is what
I like how you say it's only a couple months. It was a solid 8 months in advance. You were already talking to me about this.
We're going
to
do this. So the plan, I had this giant easel, and I had this big wreath, and I was like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a big red heart-shaped wreath, and we're going to fill it in with all these flowers, and then in the middle, and it's going to be on an easel, and then in the middle, we're going to do a sexy picture of Cameron
wearing a tool belt, looking over my shoulder.
Giving a little sexy pose at the store, so we had to drag a chair over, and we had to set the mood lighting and everything to get this picture. I had it printed, I got a frame and everything, and we got it all put together and had that delivered.
Yeah. It took 4 hospital volunteers to get it up to my unit. And I don't think it truly took 4. I think they were just that nosy to see my reaction.
Like, what is about to happen here?
And literally people were like, did your husband die?
It almost looked like a funeral arrangement.
I'm like,
is this
no, this is pure love. I have a picture of it. I'll send that in too. I took a picture of it in my office.
This is my Valentine's Day
and this
present.
And literally doctors would come.
They had heard
as
rumor.
As it like traveled around the unit, doctors would be like, Cameron Temp, Barbara funeral arrangement, let's go. And it's, oh my gosh, still to this day, Dr. Shukar will be like, remember when Cameron sent Barb that funeral arrangement?
Mind you, I had no idea what I said. She just told me what it was going to cost, and I gave her the money.
Yep.
Then she's like, I need you to look sexy in this chair in my store.
He's got his wore out tennis shoes. Yeah. And he's just like,
on his knees looking.
He's like, hey.
Over his shoulder. All right. You're a taiga. Cameron, you're a taiga. Make love to the camera. Make love to the camera.
I know. I'm like, how did she get you to do this?
It's for your wife.
Cameron, loosen the hell up.
Relax.
Yep. I love it.
Oh, that was my, yep, that's by
I think
far
you
my
bribed
favorite
me
line.
With food.
I think I did. I'll buy you lunch. You just have to come here. We're going to take this picture.
She always has snacks in the shop that you love, so I'm sure you
that peanut butter?
Peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is? Mm-hmm.
Before it was the pretzels.
The peanut butter?
Mm-hmm.
Our youngest, I've been hiding it from him. He found it and took a scoopful. He ate the entire jar.
Of course he did.
I was like, no!
Yeah.
Well, that's the interest that I pay you for having done my... building
I almost
my back
don't
room.
Want you to pay, finish paying me. I'll keep collecting interest.
Getting peanut butter. Yep.
Well, thank you guys that's for being story. Here. You are truly, this is truly one of my favorite stories to get here and witness. So thank you so
the
much.
The Hot Mess Express.
Yeah, that she turned out to be like, okay, cool. You guys have something
we're
real cool. there. Love that.
We're just vibing.
You weren't expecting
we're
this.
We're two bros.
No, I was not expecting this. Yeah, just a couple of bros. Yeah, bros in love.
What's up?
Well, thank you so much, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Thank you.
Cookies shouldn't be boring, and Molly B's clearly got that memo. These are bold, gourmet, artisan-crafted cookies, like hot Cheetos in a cookie bowl. My listeners get 10% off the entire site at mollybees.com with code LOVESTORY. Go ahead, treat yourself. Your taste buds will thank you. You know how some vodkas taste like regret in a bottle? Yeah, this isn't that. Norman's Shuck Vodka from Garden State Distillery is basically a dirty martini already bottled up for you, infused with oysters, seaweed, and sea salt. My listeners get 15% off, so go grab a bottle, shake up your cocktail game, and thank me later. Use my code LOVESTORY at GardenStateDistillery.com.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show, and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met? We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out info@lovestoryweddingshow.com or head to the show notes.